If you'd like to open in your Bibles, we're going to be looking at a passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And if you're using one of the Black Church Bibles, the pages are found behind me, page 1080 for the center column and 896 for the no column edition. But John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, we're going to read down to verse 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And let's pray together as we look at it a bit closer. Gracious God, we ask for your presence this morning and by your Holy Spirit that you would help us to see these words that were spoken by Jesus to this group of mixed disciples and Pharisees. We pray that we would hear the words of the Good Shepherd this morning and we would respond accordingly. It's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. So I'd like over the next little while, depending on how everything works in the schedule, to look at the I Am statements of Jesus at some different times. But we're going to start here at this one, a really familiar one. And let's talk about it a little bit because there's so much here. It's been noted that human beings are inherently social. According to Abraham Maslow, which was a psychologist of the last generation, he wrote something called The Hierarchy of Needs. You may have heard of that. He said that after the basics, meaning food and water and sleep, you know, these things that keep us going, one of the most fundamental of human needs is what? Belonging. that we have a sense of belonging somewhere. And one of the ways that we can most clearly see this today is this idea of following. We do a lot of following these days, don't we? It's actually shorthand for following trends. Most times we do this online. Following has become one of the modern ways we seek to fulfill this primary need to belong. People commonly follow social media accounts and blogs, channels that align with their interests, such as fashion and fitness, technology. Additionally, many enjoy following influencers, celebrities, and content creators who share engaging and, you know, relatable content. Something we get. Most of us want to follow to belong to a group or a people who do get us. People who share our same interest. And whatever your interest is, for those of you who like to bike, it's there. For those of you who like to organically garden, it's there. For those of you who like to drink amazing glow-in-the-dark coffee, it's probably there. Tortoise racing, I'm sure there's a club for that. There is someone to follow, someone who wrote the book on the thing that you love. It's there and you can follow it. This morning I would like to point out something. In this passage, Jesus says to the follower in you, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, the only good shepherd. And only when you follow me will you truly belong. So this is an important message for us today. In John 10, Jesus gives us some reasons why you need a shepherd. He says it's because we are sheep. You know, we laugh at the children running around and trying to be herded by Cora this morning, which wasn't happening. But if we were to have a bird's eye view on our lives, wouldn't it look a bit similar? Where are you going? Why are we doing that? Why are we following that? Do we know where that leads? Jesus says we are like sheep. And so in the first place, we need a shepherd as sheep because others will lead us astray. And that's what Jesus speaks about in verses 1 to 6. And that's our first point today. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper calls. The sheep, they hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. That's how he begins to teach us. But he also gives us a warning. Hey, you will be led by someone. Will you be led astray? He gives us as a distinct possibility and a warning. In this time, it might make a bit of sense to understand a little bit about shepherding, a little bit about this picture for us to really drive this home. Jesus is teaching about this practice of keeping sheep when you kept sheep at home. Not many of you do. I'll look around. There's a few of you that might have grown up on a farm, but most of us haven't. But in this time when you kept sheep, you might not have had an entire flock to yourself. You'd had to be an incredibly rich family. Oftentimes, your family would have had just a few, and they would have kind of kept them in a little pen next to their house. And really, you would have hired or been a full-time shepherd, not just for your 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 sheep, but you would have gathered the sheep from your village, and you would have taken them out and cared for an entire flock that would have been made up of these little flocks from other people's homes, your neighbors, the people that live next to you. And they lived in these walled courtyards beside these homes. The true and the rightful shepherd comes to the door that was in the wall of these little keeps, and says, "Good morning, may I have your sheep? We're going to go out now." And so he would take the sheep and go out. And of course, if you're the dad or the son who's in charge of the sheep and letting them out to go to the shepherd, you say, "Oh, yeah, that's John. Here's the shepherd. Let him in. Go, sheep. Bye. See you later. I know you'll be safe because you're with John," right? So who is Jesus speaking about when he speaks about these thieves? Why does he mention these thieves? Well, it's obvious that anybody who wasn't John the shepherd and who's coming and saying, "Let me have your sheep," he was wanting them to steal them. And this was happening right underneath the noses of the folks that he's speaking to. If we look back at chapter 9, Jesus is in a bit of a debate with the Pharisees. Jesus had healed a man born blind. And the Pharisees would not accept that that Jesus was the one who had been sent by God and that he could do these things. And what happens? They're speaking to the man born blind and they're questioning him and they're saying, "Who did this? Who could possibly do this?" And they take their anger out on him. They take their anger and their jealousy out on him. This man who had been healed, who was coming to the synagogue to praise God because he could see. He'd been born blind. He'd never seen anything before. And they pitch him out on his head when he had just come to give praise. Jesus is speaking to these Pharisees at this very moment. He's saying, "You lot are not proper shepherds. You don't love the sheep. You don't come to care for them. You don't come to pasture them. You don't come to support them in their praise and in their life. You're acting like thieves and robbers who come only to kill and destroy." And he's echoing Ezekiel chapter 34. Jesus is saying, "I am the good shepherd. I am the one who calls the sheep by name." And this is going to be his theme here. Let's look at verse 4 together. "When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." It's kind of funny. Shepherding in the Middle East was not done in the same way that shepherding is done in Britain or in Australia or New Zealand, one of these places. You know, we have dogs and we drive the sheep. We I know what I'm talking about. But what I'm told, this is what happens. If you know better, please correct me afterwards. But we drive the sheep to their enclosures. We drive the sheep to the places that we'd like them to go. If you're Jeremy Clarkson, you try to drive them with a drone that barks and it fails miserably. It doesn't work. But there was actually a tour guide in Israel, and he's talking about this practice of shepherding one day, and the tour bus is listening, and he's saying, "All right, I want you to watch this shepherd. He's going to call, and the sheep are going to follow." The sheep come, and the shepherd's behind them, driving them with the staff like this, and he goes, "Ruh-roh. There fails my illustration for the day. Why is that guy prodding the sheep along from behind the flock instead of calling them along so that they'll come, which is proper practice in any Israeli sheep business?" So he actually disembarks from the bus and goes out and says, "Hey man, what's up? Why are you prodding the sheep along?" "Oh, okay." So he goes back on the bus and he goes, "I got something to tell you folks. I was right about the shepherds. They do lead their sheep out by calling them. They hear the shepherd's voice. That wasn't the shepherd. That was the butcher." That's why he was poking them along from behind. We do this. Sheep are shepherded because they're prone to wander away. They're prone to wander away. And Jesus calls us sheep, thereby inferring and implying we are prone to wander as well. And so I might question you today. I might question my own heart. Where have I been straying? Where have I been wandering? Where has this straying taken you? Are you ready? Are you wondering, will the shepherd come and find me? How far can I go? Even will I ever return? It's a dangerous road we take when we wander without the shepherd. And so I tell you that we need a shepherd. But how does this apply? How can we follow Jesus today? We don't live in the times where we can just go saddle up behind Jesus and follow him around as he's teaching. He's not calling us to follow him around Israel. He is in heaven after laying down his life for the sheep. He is now at the Father's right hand, a shepherd king, interceding for us. And so when we follow him, he says to hear his voice. How do we do that? Well, he has spoken to us, and we are led by his words this morning. Don't take that for granted. We are led by the words that have been once and for all delivered to the church for the saints. They are preserved by the Holy Spirit through the pens of the apostles, and now they are sitting in your laps in these books. And we have the very words of the Shepherd King for us to hear, to treasure, and to obey. Because we need a shepherd this morning. We need to hear his voice. He's speaking through his word. If we reject the words of the Good Shepherd for us here, and we listen to another voice, because there are plenty of other voices to listen to, it might not be the voice of the shepherd you listen to and you hear and you obey. But there are also many voices out there, and they may be the voice of the butcher who's calling you to your destruction. Because Satan does not lead us to green pastures and still waters. We need the shepherd who does. But in the second place, and this is from verses 7 through verses 10, we need the shepherd to take us to the place where we are safe and truly belong. We need the shepherd to take us to the place where we are safe and where we truly belong. In verse 7, if you look down with me in your Bibles, we can see this. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." But Jesus, I thought you just said you were the shepherd. How can you be the shepherd and the door? Again, we need to understand a little bit about shepherding to know this. It's really neat. The setting has moved away from the village life. It's moved away from the houses and the little pens that the sheep live in. And it's moved out into the open country, because when they would go and find pasture, they would sometimes travel quite a ways. And so they would have these little pens set up at a distance for the night to keep the sheep safe. They were just rough stones, dry set. And sometimes they would even pile thorns on top of the little walls to keep the predators out. But what about the door? Well, there wasn't a door. Not in a literal sense. There was only the shepherd. The shepherd was the door. He was the one that kept the sheep in the pen. He would lie across the entrance to the pen. And he would dare anyone to come through that door, because he was the door. Does this help us when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me"? Jesus is the door. He says in verse 9, because I am the door, and as you enter through me, you will be saved. You will be saved. And as you enter into his pen, we come to the realization that as Christians, we belong to Christ. We belong to his flock. And he's the one who puts us into this, the safety of this enclosure. And he stands at the door. And let me ask you a question. If he's the shepherd, we belong to him, and we're in his pen, he's standing at the door, who in all of earth or heaven or hell is going to come through that gate for you? Nobody. He says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. No one's going to take you from me. In the next section, we didn't read it, but beginning in verse 27, he says something utterly profound. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. We belong to Christ. We belong to him for keeps. We're his. We are his family. He says that the Father has given us as Christians to him. It is Christ's inheritance. It's what we are. I was watching Paddington in Peru recently. And I'm a bit behind, but I'm catching up. And so Paddington in Peru, we finally find out what happened to Paddington. How in the world did he get to London from Peru, right? And why does he like marmalade so much? Well, those two questions are answered. We find out that Paddington is actually from a very small place in Peru, which fictitiously is where the best of the oranges are grown. And that's why he has such a love for these, for the marmalade and the gift of it. But when he finally finds out at the end of the film why he has then been sent to London by Aunt Lucy and Uncle Pistuzio, and he finds his original family, he turns to them and the Browns are going, oh no, Paddington's going to stay here because this is where he belongs. And Paddington turns to the Browns and says, surprisingly, may I come home with you? And they say, why, Paddington? This is your family. He says, no. London and the Browns, they're my family. They're where I belong. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You sheep are my family. I even lay down my life for you. You belong to me. And so that brings us to the third and final point. We need a shepherd that will lead us home. We need a shepherd that will lead us home. In 2006, I heard one of the saddest songs I've ever heard in my life. The single begins like this, and I will not sing it. Sam can help me later. Love of mine, someday you will die, but I'll be close behind. I'll follow you into the dark. No blinding light or tunnels of gates of white, just our hands clasped so tight, waiting for the hint of spark. If heaven and hell decide that they are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs, and there's no one beside you, when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. These lyrics, they speak of the fear of the uncertainty of life after death. And so they cling to the hope that love will endure, even if there's only darkness after this. How many times has Psalm 23, the great shepherd psalm of Israel, been read to comfort us or someone else in the darkest moments of our lives? But try to read it in a different way. Jesus is fulfilling all that it says in these last verses, verses 11 through 21. Jesus is the shepherd king who brings Psalm 23 to bear on our lives because he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd you need. Since there's potentially a number of Charlottes in the room this morning, I'm going to help us and not single out one individual person. There's potentially a number of Tims in the room too, so we could do either one, but I'm going to use Charlotte for the simplicity of that's what I have here. Next time you read Psalm 23 or read it to your child or your grandchild, try it this way. I was taught this by a dear friend of mine who's been pastoring a long time. The Lord is Charlotte's shepherd. She shall not want. He makes Charlotte to lie down in green pastures. He leads Charlotte beside still waters. He restores Charlotte's soul. He leads Charlotte in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though Charlotte walks through the valley of the shadow of death, she will fear no evil. For you are with her, your rod and your staff, God, they comfort her. You prepare a table before Charlotte in the presence of her enemies. You anoint her head with oil, and Charlotte's cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow Charlotte all the days of her life. And Charlotte, or your name here, shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is the Lord of Psalm 23. The Lord is your shepherd. Jesus is standing up and he's proclaiming, he's raising his hands and he's saying, I'm the good shepherd. Jesus then is the only one with the authority to then proclaim the promises that have been laid out in Psalm 23. I give to you by sake of who I am as the shepherd king. And I promise you that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In me you will be safe. In me you will belong. In me you will live here. Because he will truly lead us home. We have no question that he will lead us into all truth, into goodness, to safety, homeward. His promises, his words here show us all of these things. The proof is this. Jesus, as the good shepherd, he lays down his life for us. He lays down his life. He's not like a hired shepherd who says, lion, run, buffet, just leave me alone. No. Jesus says, my sheep, they belong to me. You want them, you go through me. But Jesus also says, my sheep, their wandering, their lostness, their judgment, their death, I take that on me. I lay down my life for them so that my life can now be theirs. And he says, I don't just give them the life that we have now, but I'm going to give them life abundantly. In the shepherd, the good shepherd, we have life abundantly. He gives his life for ours so that we can have life abundantly. And so this morning, we need the good shepherd who will not lead us astray, who leads us to where we are safe and truly belong, and he will see us safely home. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your shepherding of us, the precious promises you've given us, the life that you laid down for us, and the life that we receive in you. Jesus, shepherd of our hearts and our souls, we hear your voice. May we respond in praise. It's in your name we pray. Amen.